12 Rules for Manliness, Where Have All the Cowboys Gone? It is the latest book from Bear Wozniak as he returns today to the Morning Blend, and we are going to unpack rule number 3 this week, be a man of your word. Bear, welcome back to the show.
Yeah, good to see you, Brian. Aloha to everybody.
So I love this chapter. Something I told my 3 boys when they were growing up, you know, character is doing the right thing even when nobody is watching.
Right. Yeah, my dad taught me that. Yeah.
So let's unpack this. A cowboy's word is his bond. I know my dad had taught me that too, that, you know, your handshake is also your word and you want to be a man of your word. We don't see that as much in this day and age.
Well, the cowboys, you know, they would shake to make the deals. They would sometimes, they would do a deed of sale just so that if they want to resell their cattle at market or someone accuses them of rustling, you know. But it, the shake, the handshake and the look, you know, in the eye was so important. You know, when I go out and I speak, I had the same experience in Albuquerque when we spoke there to the Project Defend Life. You know, there were a lot of young men there that were volunteers. And one of the young men, I shook his hand. And I have occasion to do this because it happened to me when I was young. The man said to me, that's not, that, he said, I think you're stronger than that, basically. Shake my hand firmly. And so I had, and I do you ever teach young men how to shake hands?
My dad taught me. I unfortunately never taught my kids, and I really regret that because you just don't want that limp, fishy handshake.
Yeah. And so young men, a lot of times their dad doesn't shake their hand. It's not like, hello, good to meet you for them. So I taught him how to shake hands, and it was so cool because as the day progressed, I kept shaking his hand, and it was such a strong handshake. But that handshake and looking someone in the eye and saying that you'll keep your word is so critical. And like in business, if you make a commitment and you're not able to meet it, then you make it right, not by, you know, making things equal. You give more than they were expecting. It might be an hour late or something, but if you were supposed to give them this, you do even more. So, but to be a man of your word, it's important to be a man of the word. So men need to be in scripture. And that's why this new book I'm going to come out with, Man Meditations for Men of Grit and Grace, 366 meditations on the lives of the saints and not in the lives of the saints, but quotes from them in the Bible. My wife, the very first two meditations on meditating on God's word. The word meditate for a Christian, both in the Greek and in the Hebrew testaments, is the word for ruminate. Cowboys know what that means. That's chewing the cud. A cow chews grass, swallows it, spits it up, chews it again several times. And so if you're a man, you get up during the sacred time, at least an hour before your family does, and you have that time with God, and you read his word. Maybe you do the liturgy of the hour, you read the day's reading from Mass, or you're reading through the scriptures. And then throughout the day, you chew on it, right? Because it's there in you. And so at the end of every one of my meditations, my wife said, put the word chew on it at the end of each thought. And that's just it. You know, you don't want to just like, I tell people, like, people who read my book, they'll read all the way through it, the 12 Rules book, and then they'll go through it again and chew on it. They read one page at a time in the morning or 2 pages, and they chew on it. So we need to learn to ruminate on God's word so that all through the day, we're learning from it. And then we need to chew on the catechism as such a solid formational document. It can inform so many of our decisions. And so be a man of your word, be a man of the word. And of course, of the word doesn't just mean the written word. It means, you know, before Jesus was Jesus Christ and called Jesus Emmanuel, he was the eternally begotten Son of God, you know. As we said, God from God, light from light. As John said, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word is with God, and the Word was God. And through him all things came to be. And nothing came to be without except through him. So know God's written word, his love letter to you. Know your faith, the catechism. And then spend time with Jesus personally. You're like, what shirt should I wear today, Lord? You know?
Also with men keeping their word, because once you break it, you can never really fully gain that broken trust back. But then when we turn that to our Heavenly Father, He keeps His word, and that helps us trust more and more and rely on Him more and more because He is true to His word.
But it's so tough sometimes because it's like, God, what are you doing wrong? I mean, this isn't what I thought we were going to be doing together. You know, this, we were going this way, and now the road detoured into the desert. You learn from the scriptures and from life experience. My son, it's from Ecclesiasticus, the book of Sirach. Protestants don't have this book. My son, if you aspire to serve the Lord, prepare yourself for an ordeal. For the chosen man is proven in the furnace of much affliction. But what man has ever trusted in God and been left forsaken? For as great as His majesty is, so too is His mercy. So you have that feeling like Jesus in His humanity had on the cross of being forsaken. But He doesn't forsake us. We just don't understand the bigger picture. And we don't understand the challenge that we're going through, the detour that we're going through, the medical and financial or broken relationship that we're going through, that through that God is forging us internally. And He's making us a bigger vessel. You know, when you make a pot, I saw it back in the hippie days, you know, make that clay pot, spin it, and then pound it to make it softer. And, oh, God, that hurts so much. Don't do that, you know. And sometimes they put a little water oil on, like the Holy Spirit, make it soft. And then the guy would put thumbs down into that piece of clay and start to form it into a vessel. And that hurts. But when God's like poking around and pounding you, but eventually God makes you into a vessel. I know I'm getting off track here, but in terms of God's faithfulness, the way they would learn that piece of pottery was ready after they put it into the furnace,
right,
furnace of much affliction, and they'd take it out, and if they would thump it and it went thump, it wasn't ready. If it goes, has more of a ding sound, that you're gonna, you know, you thump it, it's like I'm complaining and I'm upset, but if that high ringing of praise comes forth, then it's ready. And I also remember being in Israel and seeing these pieces of pottery, and they would have writing on them, like etching, and they would often be telling the story of a war or a great victory. And that's what God's doing. He's writing a story on our hearts. So let God's word dwell in your heart. Let God's work have its place and its time with you. Let Him do His work. Don't get off the altar. Stay there while He's doing His work. And then God will have a great story to tell through you.
And being a man of your word, we think back to especially like Old Testament readings, but, you know, the word covenant. And so when you made a covenant with somebody, it was legally binding. And so you really had to be a man of your word back in biblical times.
Yeah. And think about in the cowboy days when you would say, someone said, go out and ride fence, which, you know, cowboys, they never get off the horse. They're going to ride fence. They're not going to walk along the fence and fix it. But people rely on you to keep your word. And in the cowboy days or in the military or things like that, if you didn't do what you committed to do, other people were going to have to pick up the slack. Other people were going to suffer, and even other people could end up dying. Mm-hmm. So we need to take our commitments serious as a heart attack.
Absolutely.
So that people know they can count on you. And you know what? Here's the thing. The worst thing a man can do is to break his word to a child.
Yes.
And there may be a child that you said to him, I'm going to take you fishing, and you didn't. Your child may be 35 years old right now. Go take him fishing. Or restore those broken promises and keep your word to children.
All right. 12 Rules for Manliness. Where Have All the Cowboys Gone? The latest book from Bear Wozniak. And if people want to get a copy for themselves, ladies want to get it for their men or for their sons, where can they pick up a copy?
Get in line at the nearest Barnes & Noble by 5 a.m. There's going to be such a long line for this book. They can get it anywhere books are sold, or go to schoolofmanliness.com, and then you get a personally autographed book. It's perfect as a doorstop, too.
I think mine's autographed. Well, yes, it is. Well, thank you for doing that. I appreciate that.
Didn't I get to say something nice to you?
I think you did. I wasn't used to that. All right. We're going to tackle rule number 4 next week. Thank you so much for your time this morning, and we'll catch up with you soon.
Okay, Brian. Aloha.